It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We continue our study now in the book of Ephesians, and we pick up with chapter 5 and verse 22. It says there, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord." Well, in verse 22, we're going to look at the submission of wives. And before you or any lady takes offense at what we will look at in verse 22, let me remind you that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Sometimes we hear something from the Word of God, and it, if I could use the term, it ruffles our feathers sometimes. Well, God says it like it is. And so therefore, when we study the Word of God, we need to look at it and we need to take it to heart. And we don't need to get irritated about it, but we just need to take that advice that God has given us through His Word. And I would remind you that God also has much to say about the responsibilities of husbands. Now, we're going to look at the responsibility of wives in verse 22 of Ephesians 5, but husbands also have responsibilities, and we're going to look at that later. Well, right now, let's look at what God has to say about wives in verse 22 of Ephesians 5. It says, first of all, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Well, I see in connection with this another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You see, there is an order of things set by God. God has set the stars, the moon, planets, and earth in their proper position, so they continue today as they have since they were first created by God. God set an order for animals, but because of sin, of the sin of man, Adam, that order, as originally set by God, was changed by him, and of course, the second order set by God brought consequences. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 2, it says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered." Well, things changed once Adam sinned, and we see that things changed around. The order, some of the order of the things changed, and that was evident as we, as I've just got through reading the verse, chapter 9 and verse 2 of Genesis, how that it even affected the animals. Well, when God's order of things is changed, there are consequences. God's order of things for man was changed when Adam sinned. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Well, there was no death before man sinned. Death, separation, soul and spirit separated from the body, physical death. See, the soul separated from God is eternal death, separation from God in the lake of fire. And the Bible says this is the second death. The first death was physical death. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Well, the Bible goes on to tell us what the second death is. Revelation 20 and verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to keep reading in just a moment about the second death. Well, that verse, verse 6 of Revelation 20, talks about the first resurrection. The first resurrection was that of Christ when he rose from the dead. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, he or she has passed from death. That's not physical death now, but death in the lake of fire. They've passed from the death of the lake of fire, which is the second death, and we'll read about that in just a moment. They've passed from death unto eternal life because of the first one who rose from the dead, Jesus Christ. Now, those who do not trust Christ as Savior will not only die once physically, but will also die the second death in the lake of fire. Those who do not trust Jesus to save them from the lake of fire will suffer the second death, always dying, but never ceasing to be. Mark chapter 9, verse 44 says, "Where their worm," now I believe that's the person. I mean, that's the real person. Now, I believe they're going to have new bodies after death, just as you and I who are saved are going to have new bodies fashioned like our Lord's. I believe that people who die and go to the lake of fire, they're going to have a new body as well. Where the worm dieth not. In other words, the person is going to be there forever and ever. It says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire, this is the lake of fire, is not quenched. That person is going to be constantly dying, but never ceasing to be. Pained. So much pain in the lake of fire. The rich man in hell, he said, "I'm tormented in this flame." Well, it's going to be much worse in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And I pray today that you will not suffer the second death. I pray that you will trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, we don't get good to be saved. We get saved to be good. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and He works you over. He makes you a new creature according to the Word of God. He makes it possible for you to be different. And one day you're going to be so different that you're going to be able to be in heaven. Now, the Bible teaches me that there's no sin will ever enter into heaven. And that means that people who have never trusted Jesus Christ, they're not going to go there. But thank God, you and I who have trusted Him, and I pray that every person gets saved. I want to see everybody saved. But maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to trust Him. I pray that you don't suffer the second death in the lake of fire. But those of us who are saved, we have everything to be happy about, everything to rejoice for, because Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. God's order is this. It's what He has made possible. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, God has made the order. He's given the order, and that order is He set things in order that whosoever wants to be saved, they can be saved. It's not just for those who, some people will try to tell you that there are certain individuals who get chosen to be saved. That's not true. Let me rephrase that. He's chosen everybody. He wants everybody to be saved, but the sad part of it is everybody will not be saved because they will not call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not trust Jesus to be saved. Those are the people who are going to suffer the second death. We see God's order can be seen in the verses that I'm getting ready to read. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 4 through 9, it says there, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. And that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You know, I see so much in those verses that I just read. That's God's order. And what he's saying is that you and I are different. In other words, you may be a woman listening to me right now, and you may be a man, but we're different. Men are different from women. You know that as well as I do. And God tells us this in his word. He has placed things in order. And there is nothing that we can do to change God's order. Now, let me rephrase that. We know that when Adam sinned, God's order changed. But you see, we are not going to change God's order of salvation. He has given us his promise that no one is going to be able to pluck us out of his hand, because we are in Jesus Christ. He is in us. But in 1 Corinthians 11:4-9, I see so many things there that, you know, it says, for a man ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. I see there, and I always joke around, and I always say that people going to heaven are going to be bald. And this, it says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Well, hair covers the head. Now, I don't believe that. I'm just saying that. But there's so many things that we see in the verses that I'm reading here about the order of things. That's what I want you to understand, that God has an order of things. He doesn't do things haphazardly. And as we look at the wife here in this verse, in verse 22, we see the duty of the submission of the wife to her husband. And we find that this is found in the scriptures. It's not only in Ephesians chapter 5, but we see in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the behavior of the wives. The way the life of the wife is after she gets saved. I've met so many people, so many wives who get saved, and they become a testimony to their husbands. And many times they don't have to say anything. They just live the life of God. They let the Lord work through them. I've seen so many husbands come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the faithfulness of a godly woman, a godly wife. In 1 Peter 3:1 again, I want to read that. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Well, there are so many verses. Titus 2:5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Well, when God's order is followed, then the home will be a place where the family can enjoy life together in harmony. And I pray that you're enjoying life together in harmony today. If you're married and you have a husband or you have a wife, I pray that you're working together for the Lord Jesus Christ. God will bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had together now. I pray your blessings on that person listening today, Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage that saved person, Lord. For that person who's never trusted you, I pray for them as well. They would, Lord, trust you right now. Ask you to come into their heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I want to go your way now instead of mine. Save me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, lift me
up and let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.